Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Okay. Hi, Courtney. It's Sarah Marshall from Kent Memorial Library.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Good, good. So I think today we're going to be talking about library funding. Is that right?
That's right. Why don't you start with how you get your funding over there at Millbrook?
Yeah, so we have a combination of ways. We do get a portion of our budget from taxes. We're an association library, so we're actually going out for a funding vote this year to try and get some more funding for the library that way. We also get funding through grants. We have very generous donors, and we get a lot of our funding through donations. So it's a, as I'm sure pretty much every library is, it's a blend of methods.
Yeah. So do you have to every year go to the town and get a particular appropriation, or is it just once in a while you ask to re-up, or how do you do that?
So in our case, we put it in the hands of the voters. So we have a funding proposition that's going to be on the ballot for the general election, and the people get to decide if we get more funding. And it's been about 9 years since we did this, so it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah.
But I think the goal going forward and, like, best practices recommendations is to not wait 9 years and do it, like, every year, every other year. So that way you can ask for smaller increases.
Right. So, so you don't have to go to your selectman. You actually, it's like a referendum.
Yes, yeah. It's a proposition on the ballot.
And then what's the kind of, how do you market for that? How do you get the word out that this is something that you're hoping people support?
So we have been doing a number of things. The Friends of the Library sent out mailers to everybody in the town of Washington, just like a heads up, this is happening, a QR code to our webpage with all our information.
Town of Washington?
Yes. So we serve the town of Washington and the village of Millbrook. Everybody just usually says Millbrook.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. we've had a couple of public information sessions.
Mm-hmm.
The board was talking to people on our community day, which was awesome. It was so much fun.
Oh, I bet.
We're just trying to really get the word out and encouraging people to ask questions because we really want people to be able to make an informed decision, whatever they decide.
Yeah. What's the increase that you're asking for?
We're asking to go from $184,000 to $349,000.
Wow.
So it's a pretty big increase.
That's really big. That's incredible. So how are you able to justify, almost doubling your appropriation?
So I think there's a number of ways. One, like I said, we haven't gone out in almost 10 years, mm-hmm. and everything has gone up in 10 years.
True.
Just in terms of inflation, minimum wage, the e-books, our e-book circulation is incredibly higher than it used to be. I think in 2015 it was just over 2,000 items, and last year we were over at 9,000 items.
Wow.
And I don't need to tell you, e-books aren't cheap.
No. Do you use a consortium for that, or do you buy individual e-books?
We buy individual, but we share them within our system.
Okay.
So it's a good, as, again, libraries do, we're good at teamwork that way. There's no way that I can even come close to meeting our patron demand with the funding that we have for it right now.
Wow.
And then also we've added some staff positions, which has allowed us to really expand our programming, the services that we offer, tech help, that type of thing. And I think the public is responding really well. It shows in, like, our numbers, our stats and everything. Last year we had over 10,000 people attend programs, which is the highest ever
that I could
find in our history.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. So we've kind of, like, ramped things up over the past couple years, and we're really hoping that the community has noticed that and appreciates that and wants to keep it going.
Yeah. We're an association library, too. I know municipal libraries tend to have a line on people's taxes it's kind of similar to a mill rate, like a percentage of what their taxes. Is that the way that it works for you guys, or is it literally like the town just makes an appropriation if the voters approve it?
Yeah, so if our vote is approved, we go to the town and ask them to increase the amount that the voters have approved.
Okay.
And then I believe on our tax rolls, too, everybody can go on and check and see the amount that they're paying towards the library.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
A big ask. I mean, obviously I'm a fan. I would do it. But That's a big jump. Are you feeling pushback?
So far, everybody has been very supportive that I've talked to. I also know that I don't talk to everybody in our service area. So for the most part, I've heard a lot of positive feedback. But like I said, we really just want to talk to as many people as we can, get the information out there. So like I said, people can make an informed decision.
Yeah. Do you have, do people get access to your, profit and loss kind of stuff? Or what?
Oh, yeah. We have a whole page on our website that has, questions, and answers to, questions. If the vote passes, how much will this cost me? And we have, the math formula to determine how much your taxes would go up based on the value of your assessed property.
Right. What's your budget?
So our total budget for this year is $750,000.
Oh,
over $750,000.
Yeah.
And right now, about $266,000 of that is covered by our cash reserve fund, which is not sustainable.
No.
So that's why we're hoping to get that percentage down. It's 35% of our projected source of income.
Yeah. Basically. Now, does that cash reserve fund come from is it generated by an endowment or?
So no, we do have a trust where we get about 25% of our budget from, which is very helpful.
Yeah.
But the cash reserve fund has basically when the library went out for a budget vote about 10 years ago, they asked for a little bit more and kind of built up that fund. Mm-hmm. And then they were hoping by the time that we got to the next time we asked, we would have enough to cover us until then. So that's kind of how it's been working that way, but the fund is dwindling. So
yeah, I bet. Wow,
not a sustainable solution anymore.
Yes. Wow, that is exciting. Good luck. Yeah, I mean, I know we're all having complicated emotions about November 7th, but is that what it is? November 7th?
November 5th.
November 5th. Yeah, that's a biggie too. It's the fate of our nation and the fate of your library all in one day. Wow. Interesting. Okay, yeah, we do things, similarly. All association libraries, I think, have different ways of getting to the finish line. And we are, in Kent, we are one of the lowest numbers, lowest appropriated libraries in the state of Connecticut. We're sixth from the bottom. So our little library was basically built on bake sales, and we've got this sort of Yankee can-do attitude, but it's brought us to the point where we don't get a lot of money from our taxpayers. We get about 30% of our budget from a tax appropriation that we solicit directly to the selectmen. So we have a board of selectmen here in town. There's three of them. Mm-hmm. And every year we write them a letter and we say, please, 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 can we have either the same appropriation or more? I don't know that we've ever asked for less, but I suppose it could happen. And then it gets sort of tumbled in with all the other nonprofits in town that ask for appropriations. And there's public hearings. And we go to a vote, but unfortunately, it's not on one. It's not like a one referendum item. It's part of a whole budget. So, for example, if for some reason the school budget's gone bananas, or the fire department asks for they decide they want to put in a giant swimming pool, which they wouldn't. But if they did, the town might not vote the budget in. So we would have to go back into the process, but it had nothing to do with us. So it's not a specific line item, even though it is a specific line item in the budget. But the way that our budget process handles is part of this larger group. So every year we ask for a percentage, and we've been, over the last 10 or 15 years asking for a little bit more. But as I said, we're at about 30%. Part of why it hasn't gone up in a percentage is because our little library has grown tremendously in the past 15, 20 years, and our budget used to be $180,000. And when we got a $60,000 appropriation, it was about a third. But now our budget's $450,000. So that, the percentage drops as our costs and other sort of budget expectations increase. So That makes it challenging, as you can imagine. So we have to raise about $300,000 every year, somewhere between $250,000 and $300,000, just to keep the lights on with what people expect here at the library. So we do that through a variety of ways. We have a membership campaign, which is, you know, more than just general, we get donations. It's a direct solicitation, and we send that out every early November. And we've got leadership donors, and we've got regular donors, and we try to raise a certain amount of money from that. We have an annual benefit, which is a really fun party in the summer. That's part of I'm sure you have the same kind of thing over there in Millbrook, where it's like the social scene in town. There's like certain events that happen at certain times every year, and it's, you know, the people that support the different organizations. So that's a nice party. And then we have in the years past, we've raffled off a car. This year, we're raffling off a Jeep Cherokee. Is it a Cherokee? I'm forgetting what type of Jeep it is. I'm misspeaking. But it's a Jeep, and it's cute, and people buy tickets for that, $25 a ticket. And we usually do that drawing at the Pumpkin Run, which is Halloween, around Halloween time, we do a drawing for that. And that's a pretty good deal in that we usually sell about 3,000 tickets. And so people have a good shot of actually winning the car, which is fun. And then we do our book sale, which is a massive undertaking where we accept book donations all year from everyone and their mother. And we have this outside sale on Main Street. It's out for 5.5 months of the year. And it's a massive volunteer effort. They put in, you know, 400 hours a month. So we are, you know, number 5 from the bottom in our tax burden sort of appropriation, but we are number 1 in the state of Connecticut for volunteer hours. And it is because of that, because of all of these ways that this little town, this plucky New England, you know, we're gonna raise this money and we're gonna have our great library. It's all been the people who have made it happen just by their own work and energy and enthusiasm and dedication. So it's always a little nerve-wracking when you're worrying about hitting those numbers, but it creates an incredible community, and that's also valuable. So pros and cons, you know? I mean, I think, yeah. You know, the libraries that are fully funded by either their giant endowments, which we do not have. Ours is growing, but we don't have a huge endowment. Some of the other libraries that are also with low appropriations have really big endowments. One of your neighbor towns just north of us, Salisbury, has a really wonderful endowment, Torrington, Connecticut, which is a town that's, you know, not anymore a wealthy town, but when it was, their library was founded by some very wonderful early manufacturing families, and they have a huge endowment, so they get almost nothing from the town, from the tax rolls. They get it all from their investments. So we're working on that. That's growing, but it's not quite enough to keep our doors open. And then, you know, add the fact that we're kind of wrapping up a $6.3 million capital campaign. We've been walking around with our hands out for a while. So it can be a lot to ask your town to keep giving. And for us to ask for an increased appropriation at the same time that we're saying we're also raising all this money, you know, you have to time those things. You know, you waited 10 years. You time them when you feel like that the temperature is right to get what you need. So we're almost out of our 20 minutes. We better talk about great books and great programs. What do you have going on?
So for this time, I wanted to highlight we're participating in the Great Give Back this year. So the Great Give Back is something that I believe was started in Long Island by some of the Long Island libraries, and it's this idea of giving an opportunity for patrons to give back to the community in a meaningful way. So we've done it for a number of years now, and this year we're working with Duchess Outreach to support their winter coat drive. So
Neat.
We're taking winter coats from now until the end of October, and then they're going to go to Duchess Outreach and be distributed around our community.
That's lovely.
Yeah. How about you?
We've got a big, exciting talk about composting. You know, as you know, living in a small town, the garbage situation is always big drama. So our town has just changed from the way they were allowing people to use the transfer station to a whole different system, and it's caused, raised a lot of questions and questions about value. So we have a big program tonight about that, which will be fun, and haunted gingerbread house making with the teens, which will be fun. I was pleased to see that one of the books that you and I have been talking about that's been very popular this year is now up for a National Book Award. Did you see that James is on that short list?
I did not.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised, though. That was a great book.
It was a great book, And then I was just going to mention, there's a new Malcolm Gladwell, The Revenge of the Tipping Point,
yes.
Which I think is already, the minute it came in, it was out. It was just instantaneous.
Yeah, we definitely have a number of people waiting for that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, do you have a good book recommendation for me again?
Well, I'm reading right now my genre of choice, which tends to be sort of women's fiction and romance. But I've always loved this author named Rainbow Rowell, who used to...
Yes,
she started writing for YA. I was a children's librarian for a long time. And I've always loved her. And she's written a book for adults. And it's, I wouldn't call it high literature, but I'm enjoying it very much. And it kept me up last night way too late. It's called Slow Dance. And it's lovely.
I love her books.
Me too.
And, I haven't read the new one yet, but it's definitely on my list.
No one's going to write essays on it in grad school, but I'm enjoying it very much.
It's just sometimes you need a feel-good book.
All my books should be feel-good books. Why would I want to read a book that doesn't make me feel good? So that is where I tend to draw the line. If I don't like the people or like what I'm reading about, I do say, no, thank you.
Life is too short.
Yeah, there you go. Life is too short. All right, I think we've used up our allotted time. It's always fun to talk with you, and best of luck next month. Oh, my gosh,
thank you.
Thank
you. Good luck with your fundraising for the rest of the year.
Oh, thanks. It keeps me hopping.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.